Good morning, beloved ones. Turn to someone and tell them, I'm great and grateful. I am great and grateful. I am great and grateful. Now, you have to say it like you mean it now. Do you mean that? I'm great and grateful, right? Do you know who you are? Oh, I know you all know who you are. That's good. I'm great and grateful. What a glorious day to be here and to be on the planet. It's just a glorious time. And I'm so glad that I made the effort to get up and to be here as well. So I wanted to tell you about this experience I had with a spider the other day. So I went into my bathroom, to my sink, and there was a spider perched on the inside of the bowl of the basin. Now, it's a pretty deep basin, so I thought, well, I'll just run a little water, and there's no need for me to really fill it up, because I'd very really fill it up to the top, and so it won't bother the spider. Plus, you know, it wasn't my favorite thing to go and fool with the spider. So, and I told myself it's because it's my spiritual, you know, compassion for all living things. But it's also because I really don't like creepy crawly things. And so I said, well, I'll just run some water, and there's no need to fill the bowl up, because my intention was to just let him crawl out on his own. So I left him there. When I went back in the evening, he was still there in the same spot, right? The same spot. So I decided I would wash up, and again, I didn't fill the bowl up. I just ran a little water, brushed my teeth, and he's still there. Did all my thing, and I thought, well, I'm going to leave him for the night. Well, the next day, he's what? Still there. He's still there in the very same spot. So I said, well, let me give him a little bit more time. Maybe he needs some time to move. So I go about doing what I'm doing. And by midday, I'm back upstairs in my bedroom. And I get ready to go in the bathroom again to wash my hair. And he's still there. So I'm thinking, well, maybe he's dead. Right? He's been there all this time. Maybe he's dead. So I hit the sink, you know, to cause some vibration near him. And he moves. So now I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe it's because he can't traverse the curve in the bowl. He can't get up to the top because there's a curve there. So I think, well, okay, I'm going to have to help him out a little bit. So I get a little object and I try to help him move up to the top of the basin. And of course, he goes into a panic when I come and touch him with this little object. And he just starts scrambling and moving and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, my God, he falls down the drain. So I'm thinking, well, now he's done it, you know. I was trying to save him and to rescue him, but he ends up in the drain anyway. So I said, okay, that's fine. And something tells me, don't run the water, right? I'm thinking, don't run the water, but I said, well, I'm just going to bless him. So I'm feeling a little sad and bad because I tried to save him. So I said, well, just let me bless him. And I move on about my business again. Well, late that afternoon, I go back into my bathroom to wash my hand. And who is sitting on the top of the drain? The spider. So I'm thinking, okay, now this time I'm determined, okay? I'm determined to rescue him and put him outside into the great outdoors. By this time, all fear is gone, and I'm on a mission now. I'm on a mission to keep this spider and to take him where he needs to be. My mother was visiting, and so she's watching all this, and she says, well, you need to get him out. I thought, oh, I'm taking care of this, you know. So I get a little box. Now I'm all brave. I get a little box, a jewelry box cover, and he's sitting on top of the drain. I get it, and I just scoop him into the box. And downstairs I march and out the door, and I just put him outside, cast him to the great outdoors. Now, what happened to him and where he is, I do not know. But I feel good that I have done what? My part. I've done my part. And I was thinking about this whole scenario because it took about 2 days with this process with this spider. And I said, there's something about that spider that reminds me of human beings. It reminds me of human nature. Because sometimes we will find ourselves stuck in a precarious situation, unable to get out on our own until the hand of God intervenes. Have you ever had those experiences where you just can't do it until the hand of God comes in and something happens to move you out of your situation? But in the meantime, we struggle and we resist the help, right? We start flailing and going around thinking, what should we do? And running here and there, or somebody offers, no. We're all, because we're not really sure where this is going to lead us. So we're hesitant and we're not open and we're not receptive. And all of a sudden, because we're pushing away and resisting the help and the assistance from the hand of God or the divine or whatever else, or from other people, we now all of a sudden find ourselves in a deeper hole. Right? Now we're down the drain. Now we really have to struggle for survival. See, now we really have to figure out and try to sustain ourselves. But in the midst of our struggling, the struggling has somehow put us on top again. Now, I don't know how he got out of the drain, but I'm sure it was a struggle. Because he didn't move for 2 days in that one little spot. Next thing I know, he's on top of the drain. So all of a sudden, our struggling has us on top again. Now, maybe this time we're open, more open and receptive to the hand of God, you know, to the grace of God coming into our lives and offering assistance and offering help. Sometimes even, you know, we have to get the 2x4 before we say, oh, yeah, okay. Thank you, God. We wake up. And all of a sudden, now through that grace, we find ourselves free and in our right and perfect place for the moment. Grace has come and we are open. But in that situation, it wasn't all grace and ease. And sometimes in our situations, it's not all grace and ease. It's actually grace and struggle, right? Not grace and ease, but grace and struggle. During the Unity Ministers Conference last week, one of the keynote speakers was Reverend Roger Teal, and he's a New Thought minister. I believe he's Science of Mind. And he has a big ministry out in Denver, and I'm told over like 3,000 people attend his services, but I have been wanting to hear him. And so he's the keynote speaker, and Roger is talking about the well-known and well-quoted phrase, with grace and ease. And I love that phrase because I say that a lot too. Lord, whatever I have to do, let me do it with grace and ease. Have you ever said that? Affirm that? Yes, I want to do it with grace. Because who among us does not want to do life or to experience life without some grace and some ease? We all want it, right? We all want that grace and that ease. We might even think about or dream about what it might feel like to live on Easy Street. You know, I have this game I play with myself that when I hit this lottery, you know, for $250 million or whatever, I'm going to be living with grace and ease. Going to buy a house for all the members of my family. We're going to have a little compound. Little place for my mother so she's close by, and my brothers will have their place, my nephew. You know, we'll have a little plan, grace and ease, right? And so we want to be, you know, living on Easy Street where every need is met whenever we have a need. You know, we all think about those kinds of things and what life would be like that. And maybe even if possible, we would like to expend as little effort as possible and still be experiencing the highest effectiveness. Now, you have to admit you've thought about that. How can I spend as least effort as possible and yet yielding the highest and greatest amount of efficiency? Haven't you done that? Yes, because if you're honest, you're not going to say, you're thinking about how can I do this the easy way? But yet I want it to be, what, efficient and effective. But if I can spend a little less energy doing it, so be it. But as Roger Teal pointed out in his message, he said, there may be those times when a little struggle is needed. And it proves to be a very valuable and an essential part of our existence and to our existence. And he cited the example of the caterpillar turning into a butterfly. Because when it is in, that caterpillar is in its cocoon, and transformation is taking place, and it's turning into that butterfly, it begins to struggle and struggle and struggle. Once it becomes the butterfly in the cocoon, it begins to struggle and struggle and struggle, trying to burst through the cocoon so that it can fly. Now, suppose, he says, suppose you want to give that butterfly some help. A little help by opening up the cocoon. Because you would really like, we're all compassionate beings, and you really would like not to see it have to struggle as much. And so you pry open the cocoon. But the secret to the life of the caterpillar now turned into a butterfly is this, that while it is struggling, right, to break through the chrysalis, it is pushing its wings against the edges of the chrysalis, of the cocoon. And as it begins to push its wings against trying to burst forth, it is actually pumping blood, life-giving blood and strength into its wings, which then allows it to fly when it's finally through. So to help it before its time, or to prevent it from going through its struggle, is to kill it. To help it with its struggle is to kill it, because it will not have the strength needed in the wings to fly. And I thought, how? Wow. Grace and ease truly has its place, but so does grace and struggle. Because sometimes we need those situations that cause us to have to pump some life and some energy and some strength into our experiences. You know, sometimes we get too comfortable and all of a sudden, you know, we forget what it is to really feel alive and to be alive. Sometimes we need those situations to move us into that growth phase, into that next level, to those situations that will help us to grow stronger. Sometimes struggle is necessary. And if you think about it, muscles in the body, right, are built through tension and resistance training, weight training, strength exercise, you know, and so the more you are willing to struggle with the weight and to take on more weight and to struggle a little bit, the more you grow those muscles, right? The stronger you will be. It's part of the process. I discovered yesterday that when baby chicks, when they struggle against the shell, when they're inside their shell and they're struggling against the shell, that struggle is actually helping them to put their legs into their sockets. Now, I didn't know that, but they're struggling, and the shell puts their legs into their sockets, and it actually, the struggle to get out builds their skeletal frame. And they say, if you were to help again or break the shell of a baby chick to help it out, a lot, oftentimes they will be deformed in their legs because they didn't go through that process, that struggle that will strengthen them. You know, so struggle is necessary sometimes. The struggle is necessary. Turn to somebody and tell them, my struggle is making me stronger. My struggle is making me stronger. My struggle is making me stronger. It's not always a bad thing. You know, sometimes the struggle will help us to grow. Mayo Zandoc said this. He said, if there were no contradiction and no struggle, there would be no world, no process, no life, and there'd be nothing at all. And then Mikalai, and this is his name, I have to read it and say it because I know I'm going to butcher it, but it's Mikalai Sinzenzi Milaigi. Now, that's not what it really says, but that's what's coming out. But this is what he says. He says this. He says, the best moments usually occur when a person's body or mind is stretched to its limits in a voluntary effort to accomplish something difficult and worthwhile. Sometimes, right? I love it. The best moments come when a person's body or mind is stretched to its limits in a worthwhile effort, you know, to accomplish something that's difficult and worthwhile. So the question is, are you stretched beyond your limits yet? Have you done anything that is really causing you to feel that you've got to grow, you've got to break out, you see? Because oftentimes we just don't know how capable we are, how strong we are, and just what we can do without the benefit of struggle. We don't know. Because the struggle can bring us face to face with our God-given talents and our God-given abilities, especially those that are untapped and unrealized in us. And each of us has a measure of untapped ability, untapped and unrealized talents and gifts that don't come out unless they are forced to. You see? I didn't know that I could speak publicly until I had to push myself through the gripping fear. And I'm talking about when I first began speaking, I had gripping fear to the point where it made me physically ill. And I would do prayer. I'd call Silent Unity. I have to give a talk. Pray with me. Pray. I would just be sick. You know? I was at the Village one time working on, I used to work at the Village, and I was doing a retreat, and I was so nervous. I was just sick, and I'm in the bathroom, and they're calling my name to announce me to be on the stage, and I'm like, oh. I had to push through that, struggle through that, so that I could be stronger. You understand that? That's the process. So what is it that seems to be calling forth issues and challenges within you? Because that may be your chrysalis. That may be the shell that you must break through so that you can actually find and discover the depth and the strength of your own being. You don't even know how strong you are. And more importantly, you don't know how strong God is until sometimes you are forced. When we push through our own limitations, we find the limitless power of God. When you can push through your limitations, you will find the limitless energy and substance and strength of God. You'll begin to all of a sudden see and experience yourself in a whole new light. You've got to move beyond your limits. Now, grace is always working. We got grace and ease. We have grace and struggle. Grace is always working. And this is grace in action. Because I've developed this new thing that when I write my talks on Saturday, I leave them unfinished until Sunday morning. Now, before I used to be very anal. I had to finish the whole thing and say amen by the time I went to bed. But now, you know, I leave them open. And so I do that. And this morning, I was moved to go look at my Facebook account. It seems that God is speaking through me these days through Facebook. Now, don't go say, oh, God, Reverend Sylvia is speaking through Facebook. But I go on and I'm collecting all these wonderful quotes. And so when I get up this morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning, and Spirit says, well, go check the faith. So I do. And the first thing that I open to is a quote. Someone had posted this quote. And it said, the greatest souls are awakened out of suffering. The most impressive personalities endure many scars. And I thought, wow, that's exactly what I'm talking about today. I could not believe. This is grace in action. See, God said, get up and go. I followed. I was obedient. And so it said the greatest souls are awakening. Sometimes, you know, through suffering, sometimes we think people who are great Gandhi or Mother Teresa or Martin Luther King, people somehow reach this level of an awakened consciousness and great because they just had it. No, sometimes they did it through their process of struggle. The struggle awakened them. The sense of suffering and moving through and pushing awakened them to great heights, and they all of a sudden became greater than they even imagined themselves to be. The greatest souls are awakened out of suffering. And it says the most impressive personalities endure many scars. And I love that because sometimes, you know, we're a society that just loves to look at our celebrities and we place them on high and we think, well, these people don't have any problems. You know, they're celebrities. Well, they're human beings. And they have they've had to endure many. They're just like you and I. They have many things to overcome, many scars. And so just because they are an impressive personality doesn't mean that they get through this life experience without having anything to overcome. That's just the process. Struggling sometimes is what wakes you up. It wakes you up because it causes you, right, to give your full attention to the situation at hand. When something's trying and something's difficult, this is what they say what climbers do. You know, when they're on the rock, it gives them this thrill. But one of the things that they'll say is that when they're climbing a mountain and they're up 1,000 feet off, that they are so fully present because they know that they must be present to what they're doing to grab that next piece of rock and get that footing in there. But they're so present that they have an altered experience. God is present right there. They're awakened in that moment, you see. So sometimes struggling wakes you up because you are present. You might be present to the pain. You might have to be present to the discomfort you're experiencing through whatever situation, whether it's a physical discomfort, a physical pain, or a mental or emotional, but you're present to it. The angst might be calling your attention because when you're having all this going, you're fully awake to it, aren't you? Yes, you're fully aware of what's going on inside you. The greatest souls awaken out of suffering. The most impressive personalities endure many scars. Jesus, as the Christ, endured suffering, but yet keeping his eye on the prize and his heart and his mind stayed on God, was able to overcome. And look what limitations he shattered. Right? Look what limitations. He broke the chain of death as he ascended into greater life. That's powerful. Friends, you are capable of doing far more than you could ever imagine, that you could ever know. Because we've not yet even begun to tap into what the human being is capable of doing. We haven't even used, you know, half of our brain power. We haven't used any of it. So don't fear struggling. Don't fear challenges. Don't fear difficulty, because it may be the chrysalis that allows you to strengthen your wings so you can fly. I love that. We've got to keep pressing, keep moving, keep stretching, keep pushing, and keep praying, because it all builds endurance. The more you press, the more you struggle, the more you push, the more it all builds your endurance. Remember, the race is not always run and won by what? The swiftest, but by he or she who endures to the end. God is with you in every step of your journey. Every step of your journey, through the highs and through the lows. And when you are at your lowest, that is the perfect time for you to reach up to the highest. You see, right? When you're at your lowest, sometimes when we're at our lowest is when we forget God the most. Reach out, reach in to the highest that is within you. Gary said this, his name is Gary Mueller. He said this. He said, ultimately, you have to trust your own journey and struggle through the process. It is the dying and the birthing and the battle and the surrender in which we will finally find ourselves. We have to see what is in us, what takes us to where we want to be and where we want to grow. I was still working on my talk, And Spirit said, look at the Facebook again. Now I'm in the middle of working on a talk, so I'm trying to learn to be obedient. And this is what I found from Jada Pinkett Smith. And let's see here. See, I had it all set up to go, and then Raquel called me to remind me I had my christenings. But this is what it says. Now, I love the way God works, because I'm just putting out the message. I'm leaving myself open, and he is bringing me quotes and things that fit perfectly. So this was the second one. And Jada Pinkett Smith wrote, for the woman in tears that I just ran into at the market, life is not about not having problems, horrific obstacles, and trials. Life is about how we overcome and thrive through the pitfalls. We must be tested in order to send the message to the universe that we are prepared for the blessings that await us. Yes, happiness takes preparation and courage. I know you are hurting and you've been deeply disappointed, but it is our responsibility, not our husbands, wives, children, friends, lovers, to make the choices that shape the life we have the courage to have. It's on you. I wish you the best. Simply Jada. And I thought, wow, two quotes in one day about what I'm talking about. I love it. It's up to us to have that courage to live the life we want to have. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be all roses and chocolate. Sometimes we've got to move to the growing edge. You've got to see what it is that is calling you. What are you struggling with right now? And begin to see it not as a struggle, but as your growing edge. Embrace it, you know, enfold it. And if you have to, if it's hard, do it hard. I'm always talking to my brother. He says, but it's hard. Then do it hard. Because that's what will push you to the next level and enable you to overcome any seeming limitation. So, friends, whether you're experiencing right now some grace and ease or some grace and struggle, the poignant part of that is that you are doing it. You are experiencing it with the grace of God. Because grace is in the ease, and grace is in the struggle. And God's grace will see you through it all. So I invite you to take a deep breath and keep it moving. Spread your wings, because it's time to fly. Blessings. Namaste. Blessings. Blessings.